Have you heard of NAD+? If not, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD+ is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. As we age, NAD+ levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD+ therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improve focus, and enhance recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free. And the best part? It's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. You know, it's all about the wellness and longevity, people. You can start your journey, too, along with Tab and me from the comfort of your own home with Effecty. I really appreciate how user-friendly and informative and transparent the Effecty site is. You know upfront exactly what you are paying for, and everything they offer is backed by rigorous research and testing, ensuring safety and efficiency. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD Plus Longevity Treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostics comes in with their True Age Test. You can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age Test, and I'm super excited to see what it reveals about my health. For me, it's all about what we can do to start reverse aging, for my health, for my well-being, and this is my starting point. The test is like a health roadmap that shows exactly where your body stands and what you can do to improve. That's what this test gives you. And one of the other cool things is True Diagnostic is part of the Rejuvenation Olympics, where people compete to lower their biological age. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at TrueDiagnostic.com by using code CLINK at checkout. That's True Diagnostic. TrueDiagnostic.com at checkout. Just use the code CLINK and save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 20% discount. Discover your true age today. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Listeners, if I could go back and tell my 20-year-old self something, I would tell myself probably to rethink white eyeshadow and over-tweezing my eyebrows, because it doesn't age well. But you know what does? Investing. I wish I would have started then, but it's never too late. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what else is great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
All right. This is part 2 of the Natalie Cochran and Michael Cochran episode. If you have not listened to part 1,
go back,
listen to part 1 before you get to part 2. It's a good one.
And I hope you're not like running or something, because I hate it when I'm already like in the zone and then you have to like go back.
Oh, you got
to like,
stop. And then yeah, I know that is so
forgive
annoying.
Me if I'm required you to do that, but you really have to listen to part 1 first.
Yes, you do. Okay, so let's just get into it.
Into part 2. Okay, we're going to do that. Okay, so we are continuing with the trouble with Natalie and her weird choice of actions. And let's start out with that she sent out a picture of Michael in the fetal position on the floor to a group of friends. That's so weird.
Yeah, that is super weird. And was he clothed?
He was closed. Yeah. If my husband was sick on the floor, the last thing I would do is take a picture.
I don't think I would ever send a picture of Sean sick to anybody.
Kill me.
Oh my God. And could you imagine if your husband did that to you? Holy hell. No way. I'd be like,
oh, no. He has videoed me snoring.
Oh, I video Sean snoring too.
Yeah. I have videoed him snoring too, but he doesn't show it to anybody but me.
Yeah, of course.
To be a dick.
I'm like, my husband doesn't think he snores ever. And so I have to prove it to him. He doesn't snore usually, but there are times that he does, and I have to.
Well, I don't think you just slept with me for a couple of days in a hotel room. I don't think I snore often, do I?
Okay, so you did snore one time, but it's not like I can't sleep through snore. It's like a small baby snore.
Oh, because I'm so delicate. You should just like kick my ass and tell me to roll over or something.
No, because it didn't really bother me, and I think I was so tired. I'm like, whatever, mm-hmm, I can sleep through this.
We were in a little tiny hotel room. New York City is expensive.
New York City is
expensive.
We need
more space next time.
And yeah, the bathroom was, the shower was like the smallest shower you could ever imagine, like turning yourself around in.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah,
I can take it.
It's better than Costa Rica. Didn't even have a shower in one hotel.
Well, okay. So she sends out this picture of him in the fetal position on the floor. The general response that she got back is what you would expect her friends to say. Exactly. Oh my gosh, is he okay? Take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Natalie said he doesn't want to go to the hospital. He hates hospitals. He's fine. The contractors are here and they're just going to move him to the couch.
What?
Yeah, she said he'll just sleep it off.
Could you imagine?
I know.
I would never ask a contractor. And I have a lot of contractors in my house these days or before, but I mean, could you imagine being like, excuse me, can you like pick up my husband? He's passed out and move him to the couch. That is freaking weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's just weird. So the way that she's responding to the text that was interpreted by her friends was that Michael was conscious and communicating with her that he didn't want to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's how you would read that, right? If it's like he said, he doesn't want to go to the hospital. He hates hospitals. He's fine. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And so the thing was, in reality, I don't think Michael was even able to respond. Some friends of theirs, John and Stephanie Hamilton, had stopped by to check in early on. And Stephanie is a physician's assistant. And so she's like medically in the know. And she found Michael was pretty out of it at this point, not speaking at all, but able to turn his head when she asked him to, so she could take his temperature. She checked his vitals and they were normal. but she strongly urged Natalie to take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Natalie told her she would if things got any worse. She said that Michael, she had been saying this for what? Michael has a seizure condition. Though him actually having this condition has never
been verified. He didn't have that.
Yeah. So Natalie phrased it to her that, like, when he does this, like, this is a thing he does, he sleeps it off. Still, Stephanie said, if he really had a seizure, he has to go get checked. You never know when a seizure is going to be the one that is, like, damaging. But Natalie, she just had a way. She assured them if he got any worse, she would take him to the hospital. So Stephanie texted her later and said, how's it going? And Natalie said her sister was with her and it was going fine, but she had to change his clothes because he wet himself. Now, Stephanie is extremely alarmed because it sounds like he's lost muscle control and she can't believe he had not been checked yet.
Dude. Then you're like, wife, like, seriously, what the actual F is going on?
Yeah. So she texts her, she's really worried. And Natalie responds that everyone that has been over there since she left says he just needs to sleep it off, which is not true. No. She also mentioned at some point to Stephanie that she had given Michael a Xanax the night before because he had had a hard time sleeping. She also texted her friend Jennifer that Michael had taken Mexican steroids, but there is no proof that he took steroids ever. Uh-huh. He was a fit guy, but he didn't have like a bodybuilder regime. Guys tell guys that they are doing the roids, don't you think? Which a lot of them are, right?
There's like, there's a certain look to a roid guy. Did he have that look?
He's fit, but no. His best friend, Chris, says no way. Michael ate too much pizza to like be into that kind of stuff, right?
No, I know somebody that does that and they do not eat pizza. They only eat steak.
Yeah. Okay. Like, and egg whites. Yeah. Right. Okay. Also,
12 of them a day.
There's never been any transactional receipt of any kind that showed these Mexican steroids she spoke of existed. And the facts are that steroids are real unlikely to actually kill you. It's like some like really nominal, like to overdose on steroids is like really, really like crazy.
A lot.
Like, okay. You know, I'm not saying they're good for you, but I'm saying to actually leave you unconscious or something, you know, it's just not that effect. But saying that Michael used steroids was part of Natalie's whole narrative that eventually played out in court, which was that he was unhinged and irritable and never satisfied because, of course, she wanted to blame the whole Ponzi scheme on him. The Xanax thing is weird, too, because it's like, when exactly are you confessing to giving him a Xanax? Like, I am thinking she slipped it to him. I don't know much, how much, but enough to like incapacitate him enough to like shoot him up with the insulin real quick. But that wasn't part of the trial. That's just me like speculating.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't understand like her motivation for just throwing that out there. She also made it sound like he was on a plethora of drugs, not just the steroids, but Clomid, which is a fertility drug.
Yeah, that was like, wait, I've heard that before.
And then that didn't work. But she dropped it to people that, you know, he did this Clomid or whatever. And also that, you know, do you guys know that bodybuilders take insulin?
No. I mean, just does that happen?
This is just what she would say to people.
Oh, because I don't think you can take insulin unless you have diabetes.
There is, I guess, like a way sometimes people do, but they are like real serious about it to like keep their blood sugar down or like something. But it's like Michael was not that guy. It's all kind of irrelevant, right? And so none of it is like really making sense, but she's just like throwing it all out there in case anything came back around to her. She had like a pre-planned excuse. Like, remember I said steroids, insulin, Clomid, or Xanax, or, you know, it's like crazy. Mm-hmm. So according to friends, Michael was an active guy that took supplements, but you know, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like I take
actually,
a lot.
I'm happy that he does supplements because my husband doesn't take. I'm like, can you just take vitamin D something?
She made it sound like he took fistfuls, which well, I'm like,
maybe he does. You take fistfuls.
It's true. Yeah, and I'm real crazy about taking them too.
She's much more crazy than me. I'm like, yeah. Oh shit, I forgot my DIM again.
Yeah, nope, not me. Not gonna find me vitamin D deficient.
You have that like you're scheduled, and I'm just like a loose fucking cannon.
Uh-huh. That's true. Okay, well, anyways, so no shame in the supplement game. But the only people, sadly, who corroborated Natalie's version of who the real Michael was behind the scenes has been his children. In my opinion, it could not be clearer that those poor kids were manipulated and coached to say what they have said about their father at the trial.
Oh, but so we'll, sad.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Another weird thing was at the hospital, Natalie herself took a Xanax, which, again, it's like, okay, no shame in the Xanny game. I feel like people be popping them around me all the time.
Oh, but my gosh. It that is like just seems, candy around here.
It just seems weird.
I mean, not in my house, but I mean around my town. I've never taken a Xanax.
But I have, like, but before, like when the procedure, when they want you to, like, relax.
Yeah,
so I can't imagine taking one to get through life. I would be
a zombie.
Yeah. And so for me, that just seems so weird because I feel like your husband's in the hospital. Even if you put him there, why well, the fuck wouldn't you want to be like firing on all cylinders, like very aware of what is going on?
I think that's why she took a Xanax, because it's like
stressful.
It's for stress. I think pretty sure if she just killed her husband, she's pretty fucking stressed out.
I'm just putting it in the weird category because like I just don't get it.
Well, we don't get it, but I'm sure everybody else that takes Xanax is like, oh, girl, I'd be popping like too.
Any excuse to take Xanax. Woohoo! Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. And then another weird thing is that, you know, she kind of kept people at bay. Mostly his family, it sounds like, in the days he was in the hospital before she moved him to hospice. By the way, she waited forever to tell his mama that he was even in the hospital. And then she told her to stop by Walmart to buy her a new charger for her phone. And then she sent her to the wrong hospital.
Stop.
Listen, if either one of us did that to our mother-in-laws, we would be dead.
Dead. It wouldn't have been the husband that died.
Your baby boy is in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Hell
to the
no.
And we asked them to stop for us and then sent them to the wrong one?
Yeah. No, not happening.
Shoot. My future daughter-in-law pulls that shit on me. I would not be happy either.
No.
No. Okay. Anywho. Not to scare away any prospective wives from Wyatt. He is a delight. And I'll be a delight as a mother-in-law. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Yeah. Okay. She also kept on with the keeping people at bay when she held the funeral just 2 days later. And then she didn't let people come. So the speculation behind all that is that she had told so many people so many different lies. She didn't want them all in the same room together in fear that it would all come out. Mm-hmm. Also, there was something I don't have all the details about, but it had something to do with like she called up the newspaper because she didn't want an obituary printed.
What?
It's just weird.
That's real weird.
Yeah.
And is there one?
No, I think she got it taken out.
No way.
Yeah. And then right after the funeral, she took herself to the TJ Maxx to buy new bedding because she wanted a bedroom redo stat. I think it's usually like the opposite for people. Like it takes them a while to change the last thing you shared with the person you lost.
You just like smother yourself in the pillow. I would.
Right. No, no.
I would never wash it.
Natalie.
I would be like,
no.
You know, it's like when these spouses do these strange things.
This is what I'm telling you. There were so many weird things, but everyone's like, oh, you've got to feel bad. You know, it's complicated. It's hard for those closest to see it all.
Yeah, I know.
So She also told people she had tried to pinch his balls real hard to see if he would perk up.
What?
I'm telling you, it was just weird. Okay.
Okay.
And so the other thing about Natalie, the weirdo, is she is spiteful as a fuck. Okay. When she became aware that there was an investigation into her, she did not appreciate anyone she knew talking to investigators. In the case of her friend Stephanie, the physician's assistant, she filed a complaint against her for a HIPAA violation or something like that. She had tried to say that Stephanie had told her she had accessed Michael's records, which she had not. And there was an investigation into her, proved that she had not, you know, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I mean, damn, Natalie has taken her money and is now trying to like take her medical career.
Yeah. What the fuck, dude? Okay. She is a wicked person.
She did the same kind of thing to Chris Davis, the lawyer friend, and she filed a complaint against him with the Bar Association, which was dismissed, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just so telling that she's so quick to just like cut someone who dares to cross her because the woman clearly has no heart or soul. But as crazy as it is, she still has her family convinced that the government has scammed her.
Oh, yeah, that's what she's saying now.
Mm-hmm. Even though she scammed them too, it's pretty unbelievable. They seem like nice, smart, decent people, and it's so sad that they cannot accept the reality of Natalie. I mean, she had her mama convinced, I mean, maybe she still does, that she held the government contract to supply arms for the wall. So this was like when Trump was president, like the first time.
Okay.
Okay. He's building a wall. I would imagine that's a pretty big contract.
Yeah.
Right? And she had her mama believing that it was like,
that was the contract she got.
The government was like, you know what? I know we have our go-to, you know, gun guys, but let's give the Cochrans
a shot,
to supply this couple out of a small town in West Virginia, a shot to supply all the supplies that we need.
All the guns.
Yeah.
That they need. Okay.
I mean, it's just, it's like unbelievable, right? She was able to convince people into believing all kinds of shit like that. Her parents have her children. On the one hand, it seems compassionate for them to keep up this like facade for the kids that Natalie is getting a bad deal.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's healthy. I think the truth will like set these kids free.
Do they know the truth by now?
They have recently testified and they clearly do not know, or they know the truth, but they're still covering for her. The youngest is 17, so he's almost an adult. I think it would serve the older one is like 19 or 20. I think it would serve these kids to like leave the cloud of manipulation that they are so stuck under and like understand that their mother is ill and conniving and she murdered their daddy.
Okay, wait. So even though they know that there are no contracts, that there are zero, that it didn't exist, They still somehow believe that it did exist?
Yeah. I'm going to get to like how the end of the trial like went, but no, they're kind of seem like they think that daddy was behind all the contracts, not her. And that the government has just frozen her money. They're scamming her.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, what are you going to
do? Because that's what the government does.
Right. Okay.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Do you ever look back on how you've spent money and thought, I wonder what would have happened if I would have invested that? I have definitely spent my fair share on impulse buys that could have added up if I had invested instead. You know, people say that's why the best investor is a dead investor. Why? Because dead investors can't make rash decisions. They can't pull their money out in a panic every time they hear about a dip in the market. Dead investors are invested for the long term, you know, because they're dead. Well, Acorns is built to help you invest for the long term, and you don't even need to be dead. You can start automatically investing with the spare change you've got right now, even if it's just spare change. Let time do its thing, because the longer you stay invested, the more of a chance your money has to grow. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/clink. Why are some tasks just so much harder than others? For me, I love cleaning out my clothes closet, but cleaning out my kitchen cabinets, forget about it. Seriously, it's scary back there in the deep, dark corners of cabinet land. And so it's daunting for me to even start to take on that task. Creating a will or trust can also be a daunting task to take on, one where you aren't sure where to begin or who to ask for help. But it doesn't have to be with trustandwill.com. The website is super user-friendly. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. You know, it's just so important to save your loved ones time and stress by having all your documents in one place with bank-level encryption. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So in 2019, Natalie was arrested and charged with the Ponzi scheme. Text messages between her and Mike show that he was frustrated with her about where the money was. And so I repeat, he was not involved, and that's why she was not charged as a co-conspirator. Nothing shady ever went through Mike's separate IT business, you know, and he ran that all on his own.
Oh, and he was still doing that.
He was still doing that while she's doing all this.
Actually, that makes more sense, because I was thinking, why is he only doing like this little piece of the job? But that's because he already had a job, so that's like probably as much as he could actually take on while she was working the whole entire business.
Right, which I don't think they really made clear on that 2020 episode I mentioned.
Okay.
And then part one. Okay. So Natalie took a plea for the fraud and was sentenced to 11 years. While she was in the clink, they indicted her for Michael's murder. But then they withdrew the indictment. The reasoning behind this was because they wanted to re-exhume Michael's body, since there were better scientific methods now to show insulin poisoning. Mm-hmm. The prosecutor knew about this because of that insulin nurse case you did in May about Heather Presti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm saying that last name wrong. But the insulin nurse lady, okay? And that case made national news.
Yeah, that case was, this woman was injecting patients.
The elderly.
With insulin and killing them.
Yeah.
All different ages, but I mean, they were pretty old. But so that they didn't, no one was really paying attention, because it was like grandma was in the old folks home and then all of a sudden just died. And this nurse bitch was injecting all of them with insulin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So were they like, oh shoot.
They were like, so they had exhumed his body once, and they had to do it again. So after they did it again, you know, because technology had progressed, and also obviously Natalie was already locked up. So it wasn't like she was going anywhere. So they might as well wait until they have all the information, you know, right. To make sure they could get her for murder. And so, which it took 6 damn years for Natalie to be reindicted, charged, and go to trial, which the trial just wrapped a few weeks ago. It's all on Court TV and Law and Crime, and it's amazing. And also, like I mentioned earlier, Creepalacha is a newer podcast that has done a real deep dive into all things Natalie crime related and has interviewed the people involved since the trial has wrapped. And so I, you know, I found that like very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So shallow as it may be, I have to comment on Natalie's trial look that she sported after serving 5 years.
Okay. So while we were doing this case, had to look up Michael and Natalie because I needed to see what his physique looked like to make sure I thought that he wasn't on the roids.
He's kind of your type.
He is actually my type. Yeah, he's very handsome, fit, but definitely not on steroids.
Right.
Like good body, but too thin to be on the roids. And she was a very pretty girl. Like this couple does not come off like the couple that I thought were going to be, I was going to be looking up.
No, she looks like you're like all American girl, team mom.
Yeah.
You hand her the money.
You definitely hand this chick the money. Yeah. I do see the look that she came out with also.
She sure misses her straightener.
She does miss her straightener. Okay. Her hair was straight.
That's
as
all
a
I'm
stick.
Saying. Yeah. Her
and
current,
her Botox.
Her current short curly hair is like not working for her.
I actually think it's working against her than the long hair because the short hair.
I think it makes her look it makes her look meaner. It just does.
It does.
She just reeks of smug, and that unfortunate hair, I think, accentuates it.
Yeah, it really does. Because the look she had before was very wholesome.
I also think some moisturizer wouldn't help her complexion.
Would help, you mean, or wouldn't?
I mean, would. Some moisturizer.
She should get some Five Crimes.
Would help her complexion because she's kind of looking rough around the edges.
Yeah.
The old pictures of her, she had was like a dewy, moisturized, warm look, and that's all gone. It's
yeah.
All harsh face.
Hey, so I never get facials ever, but my girlfriend signed me up for a facial. And because I put too much Retin-A on my face, a retinol, and I burnt my freaking face off. Remember I told you this? Uh-huh. And it was super like rough. Well, I went and got this facial and the lady was telling me our serum is hyaluronic acid. That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
You are supposed to put that on first. That seals in the moisture and then the moisturizer on top of it. But I didn't know that piece that you always put the serum on first.
I did.
You did? What the hell? I always just put the serum on, period, for my face. Like, I don't even use moisturizer after that. But she did an amazing job on my face. And now all that rough patch is gone.
Because it does all the serum does all the
sucking in,
tightening and everything. And then the moisture, like, hydrates your face.
Yeah. But she said the hyaluronic acid sucks it all in. So it goes inside your skin. My skin is glowing now. Look. If you're watching on
isn't
YouTube.
Isn't she pretty?
Oh, stop. But it really is. I didn't even put makeup on before I got on this podcast, except for my lip gloss.
You look great.
And my lashes.
Of course.
They've been stuck on for a couple days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and now for a closing to the shallow portion of this podcast episode. Now to the real business.
Okay.
The trial took 2 weeks and it's all circumstantial evidence. And I'm telling you, when you are watching Natalie, it is like, really, like she thinks she has a damn chance to get out of this.
No.
She is so smug sitting at that. You guys know I was watching this trial the whole time we were in New York. Like every time we were, you know, I'm supposed to be sleeping. Yeah. When I'm not snoring, I'm watching this. Yeah. Okay. So
I saw you watching something.
Yeah. So she thought she was going to get out of it. thankfully, she didn't. The prosecutors in this case did an amazing job. I mentioned before her children corroborated her tales of, you know, steroid using, mm-hmm. unstable Michael, and that's what they testified to at the trial. The son said his dad told him he took anabolic steroids. The boy would have been 11 when he's saying Michael told him that.
No.
First off, I don't think that he used steroids, but I don't believe that if he did, he would have told his son about it.
I don't think so either. That is not that's not something that you would tell your kid.
Yeah. I mean, and the kid testified, he said, I'm sure they were anabolic.
I bet you he didn't even know what anabolic, and probably took some steroids because he had a cold or something.
No, it's so obvious that these kids were manipulating into saying everything they did.
They're just trying to get their mom off because it's like, I lost
it's
my
really
dad.
Sad.
How can I
sure.
lose my mom?
Yeah, it is. It's really sad. Natalie looked at them from her seat in the defendant's chair. Like, I mean, like she was fucking Maleficent. Okay. She's like, mm-hmm. And she would mouth, I love you, you know, to them. But it's like, it was so icky, you guys. And when her family testified, you know, they echoed like some bullshit about like Mike as well. I think, you know, like I told you, they're all still buying what Natalie is selling. And those poor kids just don't have a choice but to deny that she is guilty of both fraud and murder, despite her being convicted of both. And she was. Natalie was found guilty of the murder of Michael Cochran. And they do something in the West Virginia that was new to me.
What is
that? It's called mercy. After the verdict is read, if the defendant is found guilty, and then there is, okay, if the defendant is found guilty, then there is a mercy hearing.
Okay.
Like right after.
Okay.
Okay. That the jury deliberates on whether or not they will be given mercy, which means whether or not they will be eligible for parole. In this case, the decision would be whether or not Natalie was eligible after 15 years. So at the mercy hearing, both sides call upon people to plead for or against mercy. And those pleading either way are also cross-examined by the other side.
Wow. This is like intense.
It is intense. Yeah.
Because you got to get somebody to actually go up there and say that, say yes, like plead for them, but then be like, and also you're going to get like, you're kind of going to get cross-examined, and that maybe turn people off.
Oh yeah. It's like kind of a shit show and kind of simultaneously the most like heart-wrenching testimony ever.
Oh, okay. So okay. Tell me who testified.
Okay. On the one hand, you have her mama up there saying how great Natalie is. According to her, she is ministering to the inmates.
And still taking her money. She still took your money.
Yes, but that's not... I will get to that. And she has also written a devotional book, which apparently you can purchase on Amazon. I shit you not. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay. And mama says she is not a victim of Natalie's. She was an investor in Natalie and Michael's company. And, you know, she is in total denial that Natalie pled guilty for fraud for like a reason, which the reason was she was guilty. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have mama, say mama, cross-examined, where the prosecutor is like, really?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that's all they have to like say. You also have her sister say Natalie was so amazing and generous, which is a great quality to probably be speaking on usually, but not when the person was just convicted of fraud.
Well,
because who cares if they were generous? Because it was somebody else's fucking money.
Yeah, it wasn't her money.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, nix. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was Natalie's aunt who told the jury that God was going to judge them if they didn't grant her. This is some West Virginia shit. Okay.
Oh my God.
If they didn't grant her mercy.
I could see this shit happening in Texas too.
Okay. The cross on the aunt was actually amazeballs. So she had given the jury an earful about how God has mercy on the merciful. And if they weren't merciful, God would know. Right?
Okay.
And so the prosecutor, total disco biscuit, said something to her like, you seem to know a lot about the Bible. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments? Are you specifically familiar with the
number
thou
one?
Shall not kill?
Yeah, number one.
It was like, yeah, number one. It was like mic drop. It was amazing. Yeah.
Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we've got three of those covered here, Natalie.
Right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So then you have Michael's family and friends pleading for no mercy. But his best friend, Chris, who is just the nicest guy. I feel like I know him a little bit because I watched him testify for hours. Okay. He didn't plead for mercy or no mercy. He like kind of refused to like answer. He just kind of broke down on the stand. And I get it because this is just completely insane that he's had to endure like fraud, death, and then keep it together for 6 years to get justice. And then is asked to plead against mercy. He said he wasn't going to say either way, that the jury had to decide based on what they know. I can just imagine how hard it would be for him knowing like he's going to run into Natalie's family and children at some point.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to testify the whole truth, you know, but to plead for no mercy, which he certainly had every right to do, is just a burden. I can see why he just wouldn't want to bear that.
I don't think it's really a burden because she killed somebody.
I mean,
it's like you're saying,
I just think it's like you just tell the truth and then I don't want to decide. Listen, you and me are like, can you please just fucking pick dinner? Because I don't want to pick. I feel like that's how he was feeling. I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, I have been through enough. I have had a day. Can you just tell me where we're eating? Thank you.
Gretchen was like, wherever. I was like, no, seriously. Like I have the worst. I cannot pick. So you got to pick.
Yeah. And we made a bad choice, but whatever.
What did we eat?
At that steak place.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't a win.
It was not a win. We should have gone to Catch, especially for how much it was.
Okay. Anyways, New York, very expensive. It was $9 for a damn hot dog. Couldn't believe it.
We actually could not believe it. $18 for two hot dogs from the vendor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the street.
Yeah, nuts.
Okay, well, Michael's mama, she don't give a shit about, you know, bearing the burden of no mercy. She says no mercy, 100% no mercy. In her interview that just aired on 2020, she said that she has no relationship with the kids and she hasn't spoken with them in 5 years.
Wow.
Michael was her only child. So I'm sure, you know, it's not just like the death of Michael, but you know, her like life with grandchildren.
Yeah.
So the jury deliberated Natalie's mercy and came back with the verdict of no mercy. So
I thought that's what was going to come.
Yeah. Pending appeal, Natalie Cochran will spend the rest of her days in prison. She is currently at the Federal Correctional Institution in Hazleton until 2029 for the fraud sentence, at which point I imagine she will be transferred to a state prison facility. So. Wow.
Okay. That is a bananas case.
That is it. Listen, this is a real bananas case, and I'm really interested in, there's so much more to it and all things about this case and how it affected this, you know, small town. And so I think we're going to have someone on in the near future that has a connection, and I look forward to y'all listening to that.
That would be awesome. I cannot wait to dig a little deeper.
But she's going, she's in my, listen, Natalie Cochran, congratulations. You have made Gretchen's Fraudification Hall of Fame.
Why do you say?
Well, I mean, I think fraud plus murder plus she did it to her own mama.
I know.
I mean, it just,
and she's still frauding them. They're still believing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's bananas. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that case, Scratch. That was a lot of research that you did there, and much more than the 2020 episode or whatever that one. What was it? 2020.
It was 2020.
Yeah. So thank you for digging in and finding the details that they left out. If you want to hear us more, you guys know where to find us. We have bonus content on the Clink Clink Club in Apple and the bonus on Spotify, or you can go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime. We are there every single Thursday with updates on true crime news that's going on now, reality news, big cases that are going on, and a bonus crime every single month. So it's definitely worth it, you guys. It's like, you know, a cup of coffee a month and you get us 2 times a week. Also, if you don't like to hear the ads, you can just click on that and then you won't hear the ads either in anything.
You know what my friend Jessica just told me?
What?
Sorry, Jess. She just got herself some Happy Mammoth, which I was so excited about, right? Because I love it. Didn't use the damn code.
Oh my gosh. People, you got to use our codes because that's like...
You got to use the codes. And she's like, oh, and I heard, the reason I know about it is because I heard about it on your show.
Oh my gosh. You're like, girl, we'd like them to come back and be our advertisers. And the only way they will is if they think that you guys are actually listening to us. And we do love a lot of the stuff. We use it all and we're not joking.
All of it.
Tell you
about it. We love all of it.
When we like... If you have a cat, seriously use Pretty Litter. It is
absolutely
the best. Yeah, it is the best. I promise you. I'm not kidding.
Get you some Trust and Will. Everybody needs one. I love all of it.
Dude, Trust and Will. If you guys don't have a Trust or a Will.
Rakuten. Rack it up. Who doesn't need extra money?
Oh my God. You know
what? Acorns? We should have invested a million years ago.
Totally.
Doing it now. Shit, yeah.
We're using all of it.
I got acorns early for my kids too. I am not bullshitting.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, have a super week, you guys. You know, let them if you need to. And let you be you. Clink, clink.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.